If life has you down, just remember, it could be worse.
You could be Charlton Heston, you damn dirty apes.
Jill! Don't scare me.
That's what I was going to say. Aren't you supposed to be going over the first floor, Barry?
Yeah, you're right. But just take a look at this. It's Forrest. Oh, my God.
It's awful.
I'm going to find out what caused Forrest's death. It looks like he was killed by a crow or something. Can you look around the first floor, Jill?
Okay.
Hey, Jill. This must have been Forrest's. You don't have a weapon. Take this with you.
I can't believe.
This is Extra Life Radio.
Thank you for listening to Scott Johnson on Extra Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 164, November 15th, 2007. It is Thursday. Folks, we're 1 week away from Thanksgiving. That is, if you live in the continental United States or even Alaska/Hawaii. It's good times. We love it. It's Turkey Day. There will be no show next week because of that. I'm taking the week off, dude. Holiday time. Don't get enough of those, so it's just going to have to freaking live with it. May do a little holiday special thing, some little short deal. We'll have to see. Not really sure about that. Before we get the big ball rolling, I want to thank GoDaddy.com for helping sponsor the show. We really appreciate them and all that they do. You can use Life1, Life2, or Life3 as your codes. You can also use Scott as your code. Any of these will help you save money on various services, including domains, super cheap, even a super cheap $14 SSL certificate. You can learn a lot more about that by going to MyExtraLife.com and clicking on the GoDaddy codes link up top. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy. Thanks, guys. Welcome to the show. We don't have a chat room tonight. I apologize. Ustream's giving me grief. I don't know what's going on. Not them particularly, but their website is. I can't log in. So I don't know what's going on. So we'll work that out, try to get that for next show. Joining me is, as always, is Commission Comics' very own Obsidian. Hello.
Hey, Scott.
How's it going?
You know, about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Do you have that too? You don't have that too, do you?
No, I was just about to say, I mean, it's not continental America or continental United States that celebrates it. It's only the United States.
Well, no, isn't it? Doesn't continental mean only? Because normally when you say the continental United States, that means everything but Alaska and Hawaii, because that means the stuff that's on the continent. Whereas,
well, we're on the continent too.
Well, that's true. But see, you say continental United States, so just the United States that are on the continent.
I just wanted to let you know that the rest of the world doesn't give a crap about Thanksgiving.
Dude, you didn't
this
have turkeys.
Argument bores me.
The argument that bores him, that's Brian. Brian from Mission Deep and Comics Coast to Coast. Brian, welcome back to the program, sir.
Hey, how are you doing? I'm probably sounding pretty laggy. My connection is sucking butt tonight.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Not bad.
Sucking your butt?
No. Oh, dude, please. Yeah,
apparently.
No, you do sound sound kind of poopy. Is it your connection then? Is that the problem?
It's my connection. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
So you're holding steady. It just means you got, like, what, less bandwidth for tonight or something?
Pretty much. I'm able to, my ping times are 900 milliseconds and above. For those who are technical, know that sucks, but.
Yeah, that's terrible. But somehow Skype is hanging on to you for dear life. So
barely.
We're happy about that. We hope we don't lose you. On the other hand, sounds as crystal clear as he ever has, which is unusual.
He does.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, let's get started. We got a lot to cover today here on the ELR. We got to do something. Well, I got to give a quick thanks first before we do anything else. I have to thank Jose Lopez for sending me a t-shirt. And the t-shirt says it is embroidered. So it's not just some cheap print, right? It's actually embroidered on there. It says, "The Chinese are the Japanese of the future." which is something I said, I don't know how many shows ago. And apparently he really liked that line and went ahead and made a shirt out of it, sent it to me, and it is awesome. So I just had to throw that out and let him know that he's the man. Thanks, Jose. I think he lives in Wyoming. So I'm guessing he's like one of maybe...
So...
he's like one of two Jose's in the whole state of Wyoming, I'm guessing.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, good guy. Thanks a lot. Totally appreciate it. Very, very cool stuff. All right. Now, a few shows ago, you guys may remember, I put out this request. Not a request, but I basically said, look, we're looking someday, somehow, if somebody's ever going to do this, they got to use our show to do a wedding proposal. And I don't want to explain too much more about it.
Are you proposing, Scott?
I wanted to ask Brian
for your second wife
for Brian's hand in marriage. And if he could perform the wedding.
Yes, yes, yeah. Of course. I'll do a heathen wedding.
And my circumcision, if you can work that out as well.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll just go sharpen my knife.
It's a little late in the game, but you can keep this. You can keep what's left over and make a little change purse out of it or something like that. It's fine with me. Put a little zipper in it. But anyway, so I want to take this moment. I don't even know how I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do it.
What, getting married?
We have a fan. No, we have a fan named Blaze, which is...
You're getting married to him?
No. Blaze would like to ask Aaron if she would marry him.
Nice.
Is she a nice girl?
I hope so. And here's what I would like to know. Is she right now, as she hears this, saying, no, I can't believe you did this, and throwing his MP3 player at him at a high velocity? That's what I want to know.
Did you guys ever watch that video of the guy that does that wedding proposal in the halftime of a basketball game? And
she walks out and says no? Yeah. Yeah, that was hardcore. Yeah. And he couldn't get up. He was like on his knee the whole time. he couldn't even get up, that poor guy. So, yeah, I hopefully this doesn't happen to you, Blaze. If you're listening, we wish you all the best. And let us know what the answer is. We would like to know. And hopefully this wasn't really lame and a stupid way to ask someone to get married.
Only let us know the answer if the answer is yes. Yeah. We don't want to know that the answer was no. Just never call back again, ever.
Yeah,
I mean, if she rejects you, please.
Yeah.
Don't come back.
Yeah.
But this is a happy show. When you're editing the show, Scott, you should add some cool, you know, romance music or something.
How do you know I already haven't? How do you know that isn't already playing behind it? How do you know?
Because you're not editing the show right now.
Ah, damn it. You found me out. All right, yes, maybe later I will add something to spruce things up. And, of course, if you're listening to this for the first time, then you probably already are hearing it. I don't know if I have anything festive, but I'll work on it. But that is way cool. I hope that you break the mold and become this 50-year married couple have happy times and great kids and all the things you're going to do when you get married. That's awesome.
Great. Yes, congratulations.
Yeah. We wish you the best of luck and Merry Christmas.
Yes. Assuming she said yes. Aaron, I hope you said yes. If you said no.
And if she said no, well, you know, life goes on.
Yeah. You're burning out in a blaze of glory. Get it, Blaze? Get it. Anyway. Congratulations. That's very, very cool. Okay, here is my funny story of the week. Boy, you know, there's no better way to follow up a marriage proposal that's all about happy, good future times, but with a story about a bathroom experience at the mall. Now, before you start writing your anti-Scott emails about how we're telling a poopy story, that's not really what this is. I just need you to hear it out. Now, this is really, really funny. Well, I think it was funny. I know you like the poop stories, but there's a few people who don't. So we haven't told one in like 50 episodes, so everyone just hold your email still for just 10 minutes, please. All right. So here's what happened. We go to the mall 2 weeks ago. I'm with the kids. I forgot to tell the story last week, so I guess I saved it.
Okay.
We're at the mall with the kids. It's great. We're having fun. Everyone's eating and hanging out, and the kids are going to – we got my daughter because she'd gotten a really good score on a test. We told her she'd get one of these Build-A-Bears, like $10 bear that you dress up whatever.
Yeah. And you stuff yourself.
She loves that thing. I can't stand that stuff. But anyway, I guess that's because I'm a 38-year-old male. But anyway, so we're walking around the mall doing our thing. And I am, of course, in GameStop at the moment. And I'm in there with my son. And we're playing something on the Wii or on the 360. I can't remember. On the little test machine there. And suddenly I have an overwhelming urge to go relinquish my bowels. And I had to go. I was like, it's time. So I called my wife, said, hey.
Number one or number two?
Number two. I called my wife. Dude, where do you pee from?
Well, no. It just amazes me because Brian, Brian, you look like you're the kind of person that's going to agree with me here. Okay. I am absolutely
sorry. Go ahead. Capable.
I'm absolutely incapable of going number two anywhere but my own home.
Oh, no, no, no.
I will agree with Obsidian unless it is an absolute emergency.
Oh, no, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, okay. It has to be a matter of life and death. I mean, I have to have, half the tobacco outside and then, half the cigar. You know, half the cigar is outside. The big cheeky guy already has half the cigar outside. Then I'll go to the bathroom outside of my house.
Yeah.
Other than that, if it's not in my home, I can't do it.
Okay, now that's a good point.
I have to get totally naked and put all the magazines up.
We still get feedback about that, by the way. Some people saying they totally agree that that's crazy, scary, and that they are with you the whole way. But no, keep this in mind. I went through all of my high school, my junior high school, and college years without ever once touching a school toilet with my rear end.
Nice.
So I'm with you guys. I don't, the public stuff, I go into survival mode most of the time and I don't have to. But this was one of those times where I just had to go. All right.
Yeah.
So I called my wife on the cell phone and said, honey, will you send one of the girls in here so they can watch Nick while I go? She says, yeah. So sends my daughter down the hall and there she is in the mall. So I run out of there. And I'm kind of making a pretty good clip down toward the food court because I had to go, dude. I had to go bad. So what's so funny is this has nothing to do with the best part of the story. But so I get into the bathroom, and it's one of those down the dank, dark hallway of the mall crap hallway where there's nothing but like weird janitors staring at you from dark corners and stuff. It's weird. And I go down in there. I get into the bathroom, and this is one of those setups where you got three stalls. You got the first one, and it's got a dude in it. I can see his feet. You got the second one, and it looks like it's kind of cracked open a little bit. And then you got the third one, which is the kind of the big retard one, the one with the bar in it and stuff. Oh, I'm going to get
big retard? Oh, man, you're going to get so much email.
Sorry, it was a habit, force of habit. The one that lets you hold on while you're...
The handicap one.
The handicap one, that's what I meant. And they always have the huge toilet paper dispenser with like eight rolls in it and all that.
They let you out on the street.
So I go in there. And I see the first one's got feet, so I know I can't go in that one. And I'm, by the way, there's only this guy and me, and there's nobody else in the bathroom. I'm going to go to the second one, because I'm not going to go use the handicap one, thinking that, well, if a real handicap guy comes rolling in here, he needs to have it, right?
No, you just fake a limp.
Well, that's always worst case, but I thought, well, I'll try the second one. It's open. I crack it.
Those ones are so roomy, though.
Oh, I know. They're great. I wish we could all have – they should have all three like that is what they should do.
Yeah, no, actually – to be honest, I don't feel comfortable with so much room.
Because you can't put your foot up to the door.
Dude, his feet don't touch the ground.
I'm in the bathroom stall, and there's so much room. It's like more people fit in there and stuff. I mean, it's like there's more room to be attacked. I don't know.
That's where all the celebrities go. That's where because they take the bodyguards in there and stuff. But anyway, so I see this second one, and I think, okay, I'll go in there. I crack it open, and lo and behold, there is a holocaust in that toilet. I mean, there's just poop everywhere. Somebody made a huge mess. It was all backed up. And I went, okay, this isn't happening. So I go in the handicap one. I just accept my fate. I go in there and I'm down for the count and I'm doing my business. So I'm sitting there and this guy's still on the third stall away and we got this nightmare between us, right? Well, as I'm sitting there, this is what I hear. I hear the door on the outside coming into the men's bathroom go, and a new guy walk in. And this is what I hear. And the humming is getting louder because he's coming toward us. I'm like, oh, please just use the urinal. Why? I'm thinking I'm feeling bad for this guy because he's going to find out the only stall available is this nightmare. So he comes sashaying down
and
to
the nightmare. You're about to leave.
Yeah, I know. So he's sashaying down to these three stalls. I can hear him coming, and here's what I hear. I hear, and he gets close to that door, and as soon as he cracks the door, the humming goes like this. He goes, like that. And then he says the greatest thing I've ever heard in a men's bathroom ever. And this guy has my full, total, and complete respect. All right? Here's what he says. Now that's a – no, wait. I almost blew it. He said, he said, now that is unfortunate. And then shut the door and hummed his way right out of the bathroom. Oh, that is funny. Unfortunate. So all I could think of is, hilarious. Man, this guy can really control himself. I mean, he's like, yeah, I would have been pissed. There's two guys in the other stalls. And then it's me and Zippy over there laughing the whole time after
but
this guy leaves.
It was the janitor. It was the janitor.
It might have been.
Yeah, in the bathroom, he goes in, he doesn't want to. Well, that is unfortunate.
That is unfortunate. It's classic. So from now on, I'm going to use that phrase to anything bad that happens to me. Yeah. I don't care what happens. I wake up in the morning with, I don't know, a dead raccoon in the bed. I'm going to say, well, that is unfortunate. Anyway, so props to that guy. If you're listening, I don't know who you are or where you are, but you made my whole day that day. That was great.
That's awesome.
Good times. Good times. All right. There's my story. Thanks for listening to that. All right. Quickly, we have some birthdays, and these are unique. And the reason we're doing these is because I want, well, it's interesting. A lot of people say, please have Obsidian say my birthday. He does it in his, you know, Spanish voice or whatever.
Spanish voice? Spanish isn't it voice. Like Spanish language?
Spanish language. That's it. And so, Chris. Or no, let's see, is it Chris Knight? Yeah. Chris Knight says, and this is three separate people with three separate emails, all with the same idea. Chris Knight says, after listening to episode 158, I felt like Brian was being left out during the birthday segment. Therefore, I would like to have Brian wish me a late happy birthday for my own in my own native dialect. And I guess his own native dialect is what? in your native dialect, meaning your like redneck redneck voice.
Yeah. That's great. What was his name again?
His name was Chris Knight.
Chris Knight, yeah. But,
so can you say happy? Can you say
like
happy?
Michael Knight's brother?
It might be Michael Knight's brother. But you need to say, can you say happy birthday to him in some sort of redneck voice?
Well, I don't know if I got in a redneck voice, man. But I want to say happy birthday to Chris Knight. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks, Elvis. Jeez Louise. All right, so there's your Elvis voice.
But Elvis was a redneck, wasn't he?
Well, sure. He was from Mississippi.
I mean, I don't know.
Anybody fry a banana sandwich, I would definitely call them a redneck.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Okay, you got another one. It says, hey, ELR, my girlfriend Katie's birthday is on the 15th. That's today. The day you'll be recording this, I assume. I wonder if you could give her a birthday shout-out. Oh, and considering that O keeps getting all these requests to wish people happy birthday in Spanish, I felt as though Brian was being left out. Could this shout-out be from Brian in his native tongue, Southern Redneck?
That is too funny.
That's from Eric at Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The girl's name is Katie.
No, I have nothing against people asking for more Brian, but why do we have to ask for more Brian, but, you know, put down the O? You know, it's like, just ask for Brian. You don't have to say, give us more Brian, less O.
Yeah.
Just say, give us more Brian.
More Brian. All right, so go ahead, Brian. Her name is Katie, and her birthday's today.
Hey, Katie, happy birthday. We really appreciate you listening to the X Life Radio Show, and eat more bacon. How's that?
It's very redneck. I'm impressed.
Yeah, but you got like a more, you got a more degenerate redneck. Use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now here's one more chance. Here's another chance.
Come on, y'all. What's up?
We got another one. Listen to this one. This one comes from Sean. Hey, Scott, I was wondering if you could include my birthday shout out or a birthday shout out for my girlfriend, Christina. She's turning 16 this week. And can you have Brian do it for me? That's what
that
it says.
That is too funny, man.
Three
What's
of these. I know. It's crazy. So can you please wish Christina a happy birthday?
Christina, happy birthday.
Oh.
What's that name?
He interrupted
Galway.
You.
Galway.
Yeah. Sing it. Sing it like you're square dancing or something.
Yeah, sing it.
Yeehaw. Yeah, like no, I don't know how to sing square dancing. What is that?
How do you sing square dancing is my question.
Happy birthday to all you all. Something like that.
Bring your girl in, put her in the thing. And
yeah, that kind of thing. Come on, Brian. You can do it.
I don't know how to do nothing like that.
Well, what do you mean?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Well, grab your girl and flip her in the air. Pick her in her nose and tell her she's a piece of hair. Girlfriend Christina, turn 16. Yeehaw! Something like that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, but you're supposed to do it.
I think he's given up. You've given up. You're not going to do it.
I couldn't do that. I can't do the square dance thing.
All right, Christina.
And that's why people ask me to give them their birthdays, because when I'm supposed to do it, I don't suddenly forget Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brian, you forgot all about like square dancing. What's wrong with you?
Well, isn't he supposed to be here? I mean, isn't that what they do?
Hey, Spanish boy, why don't you wish her a happy birthday and do the Mexican hat dance song?
Yeah. That one.
But you're supposed to square dance. Don't you square dance and go to don't you go to barn parties and all that kind of stuff? Play the banjo, wear your overalls, no shoes and
stuff? What the hell? What the hell's a barn party? I never even heard of that.
Party in a barn.
Yeah, you got me, dude.
What do you think this is, Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, it's around it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Christina. Hopefully the next 16 years are as sweet as the first.
Oh, that was nice.
Now you can drive. Okay, we got one from Sushi Ninja, who we all knew was 14. He is apparently 15 on November 21st. He's doing this very early because we won't be here next week. I'd like Scott, for his birthday wish, he says, I would like Scott to give O an Xbox 360. Done. Done and
awesome.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Whatever.
Well, okay. Happy birthday, Sushi Ninja. I wish you a long and happy life.
Yeah, that was very. It was a very pro O stance to take there, Ninja boy.
Yeah. May you live long and prosper.
May he indeed. Okay, I got a request last week to play, they got such a kick out of the previous week's the Halloween episodes junk that we did for Resident Evil. And I've been getting a lot of requests for more of those sound clips. So instead, I did what listener Jerry recommended, which is to make a tribute to Barry. And so I just did this quick tribute. I'll play this real quick. Barry, dude, you know, Jill. What the hell is this? That guy. Yeah. Barry.
Tribute to Barry White.
Well, yeah, that's true. So here it is with just a little intro from me. Here it is. Oh, I love this part. Let's go.
Wesker must have set it off. There's not much time left for us.
Jill.
Hi, Jill. It's you. I'm really embarrassed to see you now. Just leave. Go quickly. Is that so? Jill, do me a favor. This is my last wish.
Is that you, Jill? Look at this. What do you think of it?
Right.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Perhaps that was the most important part. I think I'll stay and look around more. Jill!
I was looking for you. Jill, don't be angry. I wanted you to wait for me.
Jill! You're here too!
Look, I lost my way.
A dining room. What? What is this? Blood. Jill, see if you can find any other clues. I'll be examining this. Hope this is not Chris's blood. Lost courage already? It's not like you. Hey, you! Stop! Run, Jill! He's insane! What the hell? What is it?
All right. O has a theory. O, what's your theory about?
Yeah, okay, what I want you to do if you're listening to the podcast right now is to take absolutely everything that character just said and imagine that he's sitting at the toilet.
In the second stall.
Dump, yeah. And it all just falls into place.
Second stall, about an hour before I got there, picture Barry doing his damage.
Yeah, I mean, it all just falls into place.
Good stuff. Anyway, there's my tribute to Barry. Barry is, of course, the greatest character in all of video game history. No question about it. All right. Only if you could play as Barry. That would be great. Oh, let's dream. Can we dream? All right. We have this. Check it out.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
How are the graphics indeed? Tonight's How are the graphics are provided partially by macaroni salad. It's pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah, it was kind of good. My wife made it.
Macaroni salad is disgusting.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. Before we jump to the big one of the week, I want to talk a little bit about Call of Duty 4. Speaking of O and his call for duty. Call of Duty 4 is amazing. I'm not going to say a ton about the game other because it's been out for a little while now, but
yeah, it looks good.
Oh, it's beautiful. I've never, there've been some complaints that the single player game is short. I would say it's about the same length as the previous Call of Duty games, 1 and 2. Yeah. I don't know about 3 because I didn't play it. It was a different developer and wasn't really that interested, but, Infinity Ward did 1, 2 and now 4. And this one's, of course, set now. It's Modern Warfare. All the weapons are kind of current stuff, MP5s, M16s, M4s, that kind of stuff. And it's a big terrorist story, as you might imagine. However, and it's told through the perspective of an SAS, British agent, and an American special agent, or not agent, but I guess special forces dudes. And it is the short or not. I mean, I guess you could argue that it's short compared to like Oblivion or something like that. But it is, it seemed about perfect to me. And it is one of the greatest, certainly in terms of shooters, one of my favorite single player campaigns in the last decade. I mean, it was, it's absolutely amazing and visceral and incredible and looks great and sounds great. And I just loved every second of the single player game. And the only thing that made it feel short at all was that I was just disappointed that, that I had beaten it. And I, you know, it was so good. I wanted it to keep going. I wanted that story to keep going. Yeah. It was really, really cool. But all that being said, what really impressed me the most about the game so far is the multiplayer options. Now, I know it's not a brand new idea to gain rank and gain experience points and stuff while you play online, and therefore, you know, carry that to the next match and have this kind of persistent character thing. But they've got this crazy perk system where you can say, well, all right, I want this guy to carry this sidearm, and he wants this rifle, and he has to, I want him to have better bullet penetration, better splash damage on his grenades, and run slightly faster. And then the next match, well, I'm going to change that around so that he has this attribute and this attribute. And that combined with the ranking, how you keep gaining new levels, gaining new abilities, gaining new weapons and attachments for those weapons as you play, and how you play determines the kind of things you get. It's a full-on RPG, dude.
But to say, it's like Dungeons & Dragons for Call of Duty.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. It's pretty amazing. And I think Penny Arcade did a comic, I want to say Monday, about this. The idea that it's just like playing a... an RPG in a way, and it was actually pretty funny. Their take on it was really good, but I have to kind of agree. It's a very unusual experience, and therefore feels completely new and fresh to me. I'm not just running around shooting dudes now. So I have to recommend it highly. In terms of how were the graphics, they're amazing. Beautiful, beautiful game. Maybe one of the best looking 360 games I've owned. And I'm sure the PC version looks great too, so I can't really speak for it, but I know a few fans have played it. Specifically Skyhawk, who is one of our regular listeners and a good friend. He beat it on the PC and loved it. So if you want to get this game, oh, you can't go wrong, dude. Good game. Now, O's not going to love that I'm telling him this because he doesn't have a 360, but we're going to talk about that more in a bit here. But instead of talking about that now...
Would you just promised me one, so...
Well, that's true. But before we jump to that, let me talk about another game that O can't play. I cracked open Super Mario Galaxy this week, and that game is equally amazing in its own right. And I'm prepared to say, as I'm not that far into it, I'm maybe three galaxies in or something, but I'm pretty close to saying this game, in my mind so far, equals, maybe rivals, certainly Mario 64. And is the best platformer, you know, sort of action jumping around adventure game I played in probably 10 years, probably 5 to 10 years. Awesome. Wonderful.
The thing I got to ask you about that game is how are the controls in comparison?
Oh, they're cinch.
Is it seamless?
Oh, yeah. The control. See, this is the funny thing. When I don't know when. Well, who knows how much of a purposeful decision this was, but there's very little Wiimote play in terms of how you're moving around. You basically use the analog stick on the nunchuck to move Mario around, and you jump with the Wiimote, and it feels just like as if you're playing it on any kind of pad. You could play this on a dual shock style, you know, control pad, no problem. The one difference is you use the Wiimote for lots of sort of sub-game stuff and connecting to these little stars that pull you from one sphere to another. So there's lots of little point at the screen and do things occasionally. But in terms of Mario's actual moves and what he does, there's very little of that even needed. Yeah. And you do use the Wiimote to pull in these little crystal star pieces, star bits they're called, and they help you and do things. And you can actually have a second player sit there and do that. So I have Nick do it while I play, and he sits with another Wiimote, and that's a lot of fun if you want to do that with your kids. But it is not...
That is as great torture for your kid.
That's true.
Hey, while daddy's playing the game, you sit here and assist. Thanks, Daddy. Thanks.
You pick up all my crap, please.
I love you, Daddy.
Yeah. It's really...
You're the greatest daddy ever.
It's really... I don't know. It's hard to explain, but he finds it really addicting. He'll sit there and do that forever. He doesn't want to start his own game yet. So, I don't know. The variety and the multitude of things to do in that game are staggering. Just unbelievably awesome.
For some reason, since I don't have a Wii, I can't really comprehend, but it seems like every time I imagine playing the Wii... Always imagine having to stand up.
No, you can sit on your butt.
You know. Playing Mario just seems like it would be such a pain in the butt to stand up and play it the whole time, but I guess not.
No, you don't have to.
I guess my misconceptions are wrong.
Yeah, you'll love my comic tomorrow, by the way. Keep your eyes open. What you just said will have special meaning to you tomorrow morning.
Excellent.
To you specifically. But yeah, it's just great. I can't recommend it enough. I'm not nearly complete, obviously. I'm way at the early stages, but. Holy crap, it's fun. And graphically, so we're in keeping with Howard the Graphics. This game is beautiful. It's amazing looking. They did stuff on here that I didn't think the Wii was supposed to be able to do in terms of, you know, specular highlighting and like fur simulation and all kinds of weird stuff I didn't expect to see, different hardware tricks. And, you know, music is amazing. The sound effects are amazing. It's colorful as you might expect. And it's just it's a beautiful game. I mean, Could you do this and a whole lot more using a PS3 or a 360? Absolutely. You know, graphically, you could do more things. But but for a Wii game, sheesh, nothing comes close. I've never seen a game even near it, not even close.
Well, I just want to say that I envy you, Scott. I wish I could say I was proud of you, but I'm not because you basically didn't do anything. But
yeah,
but I do envy you. I wish... No, I wish this just for a moment there that maybe, you know, I was your son.
But you just I was
collecting stars.
Yeah.
I wish I was picking up all the pieces of the fallen stars for you.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure you're having a lot of fun and you know, enjoying yourself. And,
I wish you were in the meantime,
Ryan and me, you know, we play, you know, pick the belly button.
I wish you were my son, not so you could just play, but also so you could suckle at my teat.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of nasty.
You know, I didn't know you still breastfed your kids.
No, I do not. I try not to, but sometimes they'll just have their way. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some new Zune software. We'll touch on that a little bit. I think it's kind of an interesting development in the evolution of Microsoft's effort to compete with the iPod. Kind of interesting stuff there. Also want to talk a little more about the games can't get. 360 downloading, and we have a crappy movie of the week. Stay tuned. And we're back. Welcome back to the show. Hey, a bunch of you asked me to start telling you what music I play during the break because I kind of pick a random sort of very weird sort of random sampling of different things. Last week, I think the Halo 3 menu music was on there. Before that, I don't remember, but jump around a little bit. I will try to remember to do that. It gets so late when the edit's done that I'm just pooped and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if you get your wish. Anyway, here we go. All right, we're back. O is the only person in the room, and when I say room, I mean the internet, No, that's not true either, but he's the only one of the three of us who has a Zune. Yeah. I have an iPod. I've always had iPods. Prefer iPods. Love iPods. I love my iPod Touch. I touch it frequently. I'm touching it now, in fact. I'm looking at it now.
Okay, yeah, great.
And so I've never been disappointed. I've always liked it. However, when the Zune first came out, I was kind of like, eh, that thing looks like a brick. What's with the brown one? You know, nobody wants to buy a turd with a screen on it, blah, blah, blah. I admit I kind of didn't give it a chance for some kind of superficial reasons, but also I didn't like their software you had to sync with, and it just seemed clunky, and I don't know. The whole thing just seemed a little off to me. However, the new Zunes, both the Flash players and the new 30 or whatever it is gig regular, you know, model, look a whole lot better from an aesthetic point of view, but also functionality-wise, things are looking really cool, and I'm totally digging that they finally are adding podcasts as an option right there in the software. That's all good and everything, but one thing they're doing that is totally new and different is they're saying, hey, all you old Zune owners, like O, we're going to let you upgrade the software on your players so that you've got the same stuff the new ones do. And from most accounts, it's working great. However, oh, you said you tried to load the update and it didn't work?
Yeah, it brings out an error, but I'm perfectly aware that it's not the actual Zune or the Zune software that's malfunctioning there. It's actually something with my computer configuration. It says it's something with a file or something called Watson. I'm not kidding here.
Oh, yeah. Watson. Called Dr. Watson.
Yeah, Dr. Watson.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it says
that's like,
you know,
the crash manager.
The what?
That's like the what?
What, Brian?
You lag.
That's like the crash manager. That's like the crash manager in Windows.
Oh, Doctor, but yeah, but Dr. Watson, I thought went away with like Windows 3.11 or something. I didn't know it was still around.
I think it still runs some capacity.
Oh, all right.
Well, anyway, it brings out an error, says something about a guy named Watson, and it won't install the new software. But you know, I'll solve the problem eventually and get it done.
Well, I'm anxious for you to do it because somebody did submit our feed to the Zune Marketplace for the podcast, the new podcast serving feature that they'll have there. Yeah. It is kind of interesting, and I gotta say, dude, I'm not always real happy with Microsoft. I love the 360. I think their gaming initiative is pretty strong and maybe their strongest suit right now. But I've never been a huge fan of Windows. When I've had to use it, it's just, I don't know, just find things clunky and issues and problems and stuff. And I've never really gotten into some of their other handhelds when it came to like portable PDAs. I can't stand Windows Mobile. That kind of stuff just drives me nuts. I think it's unintuitive, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't super thrilled with the way the Zune turned out. But there's two things happening here. One, this is like a total nod to consumers to say, look, you got this other model, and we want you to have the benefits of the latest and greatest. And that is a really, really cool customer move, in my opinion. They didn't have to do that. And they did. And so that's point number one. Point number two, I'm totally impressed by, is that they're going to go ahead and include podcasting for what it is, which has kind of become this ubiquitous way of getting audio content out there to people. And they're not ignoring, but they're saying, you know what, we're okay with the fact that the name was coined off of iPods and that that's really where it kind of grew and started. And we're all right with that. We're not going to fight that. Instead, we're going to make it so people can get their content the way they want it. Who cares what it's called? And that's a great move, and a move that is uncharacteristic, in my opinion, of typical Microsoft sort of old school behavior, like what they used to pull in the 90s. So I'm happy about it. I think it's great. And Brian, you're getting one for Christmas, eh?
Yeah, eh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They had a big deal on Woot the other week, where you could get the black or white one for like $89, and someone was asking me, what do you want for Christmas? We're going to spend X number of dollars on you. I said, well, go ahead and get the Woot. So
get the Woot.
They did. Get the Woot out. Get the Woot out. So they got the Woot.
Yeah.
And so now I have a Zune on the way.
That's nice.
See, that's how I have to manipulate to get modern technology, which is still actually an older technology. I'm not like Scott Johnson.
Yeah, right.
Go out and get an Apple.
Yeah, neither am I.
What in the crap? Listen,
I live in a third world country over here in South Carolina. And
yeah, that's actually kind of true. I'll agree with you there. Yeah, I've been there. Been there once. It's kind of a dump. But yeah.
Hey.
All right, it's a big dump. Sorry.
Watch it.
Just kind of one. So, does this, I mean, how do you feel about, I know you've always liked your Zune. You've been pretty happy with it.
Yes, I'm not pretty happy. I mean, I love it. I love my Zune.
All right, well, keep on Zune, man.
I'll try to get that update, and, you know, if it works, fine, and if it somewhat improves my Zune experience, cool, but so far what I've seen is that it does a bunch of stuff that I don't use anyway. I mean, Zune Marketplace, I don't buy stuff online. I'm sorry. That's kind of difficult for
me.
That's
for suckers.
You know, if it's supposed to improve or do something with the whole Wi-Fi connection, I don't have Wi-Fi, so okay. If it does anything for me connecting with other Zune owners, I'm the only Zune owner I know. Yeah. I mean, people here barely have iPods.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see iPods that much here either.
Yeah.
So I mean, if it's going to improve on a bunch of stuff that I can't use anyway, good for everybody else.
Yeah.
So far, what I need it to do, which is, you know, play music, play video, and, you know, use it also for saving pictures and stuff, works great. I don't have the first complaint. I love my Zune, and it's an awesome player.
Yeah, and so, Brian, Jose, if you're listening, the next T-shirt should be Brian's quote, which is, buying stuff is for suckers.
Buying stuff on the internet is for suckers.
Yeah, that's for suckers. I like that. Yeah. Nice work. Anyway, so cool stuff. If you're into the Zune and you have one, good on you. And I'm just, you know, take it from a diehard Apple freak. I'm impressed with the moves they're making. I think it's great. Not that you should trust me, but I'm just saying. All right, let's touch on, I want to talk about the games that O can't play. It's pretty much most of them. So, for example, let's talk about Hellgate London. This game comes out, launches here. Hasn't done super awesome. It's been some mixed reviews and stuff. Who cares? You were anxious to play it.
Well, it's sad. It's sad when this happens, Scott, because, okay, this, I mean, we should have gotten used to this by now, but I've been anxious about Hellgate London for about a year now.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
And it comes out, and, you know, I haven't played it yet. I've been waiting for it to get properly cracked. Come on, people, get to work. and in the meantime, you know, I haven't been able to play it yet, but I've been reading about how disappointing it is.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, this happens with movies and video games and everything. I still want to play it, though. I mean, I still want to grab it and play it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's talking about how disappointing it is. And I've been looking forward to this game for about a year now.
Yeah. And you can't play it until someone cracks it.
Well, until someone cracks it properly. I mean, it actually... Okay, you know, I can speak about this freely.
Yeah, because you live in Colombia, dude. You are outside the reach of American freaking agents. That's a great thing. O can talk about piracy and stuff all day on the show because nobody can do anything about it. He can say, I am shooting heroin right now and beating my wife and I'm cracking the CD and no one will care. They can't do anything. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, seeing that I'm not doing any of those things.
All right.
Normally, when a game comes out, I wait. I wait a couple of months before I download it. Because, for example, if Hellgate London came out yesterday and I download it today, it's probably going to be some fake thing filled with viruses and stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, you wait a couple of months for a good, you know, pirate version to come out.
Sure. Legitimate pirated version.
Yeah, legitimate.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's I've been looking forward to it. And it makes me, you know, it kind of makes me a little bit anxious when these games come out. For example, another game that came out recently called The Witcher.
Mm.
I really want to play that game. Today when people are listening to this podcast, Need for Speed Pro whatever racer is supposed to come out. And wow, I'm really looking forward to that one. I don't know if you guys are Need for Speed fans.
Oh, yeah, big time. Love it.
But this new one, it's got a bunch of different stuff that really, really, really is making it look very attractive. You know, the way you can now modify your car and actually put used parts on it and how they affect the car and everything.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that game, but okay, let's wait for it to come out. You know what other game I want that came out not too long ago? Gears of War for the PC.
Yeah, just came out last week, I think.
Yeah, and yeah. Oh, I want that game.
Yeah, yeah, you do want that game. Trust me, it's awesome.
Oh, absolutely, because that was one of the reasons I lust for a 360.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't need to lust anymore. You know what? Actually, this is brings up a good point about consoles.
I still lust, but
well, yeah, but that's you lust for things that are forbidden. Yeah. But if we when all these things like Mass Effect are coming rolling out on the consoles and Super Mario,
there's another one,
Galaxy, and all these games you would love to play on all these consoles. And this year is a banner freaking year. There is so much good stuff. Assassin's Creed just came out, getting great reviews.
Oh, yeah.
This Call of Duty thing is great. I mean, all these games all coming out all these different times, and you're left with the ability to pirate, crack PC stuff when you can, but that's about the best you can do, and that must suck. I mean, you must write. You need these things to be more affordable in your country.
Is there a point to reminding me this?
Well, what I want to know is if you told everybody last week that if you make $400 a month, you are like upper middle class, lower high class, or whatever.
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that these international companies selling 360s and PS3s and whatever, do they not care if nobody buys them there? Because I don't know, dude.
Well, we're not exactly a big, a big, what would you call it? Market?
Yeah, we call it that.
I mean, for example, here's one. This week, I was, over at the Kung Fu school, speaking with a lady that's a student there. I mean, she's, 40-something, and she's got about, an 8-9-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And so, and something that really annoys me, which is people celebrating Christmas since October, her kid already made, his little Christmas list.
Uh-huh.
My first comment was, it's November.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, her kid made a Christmas list. Okay. Now, what her kid wants for Christmas is like three things. One, I can't remember. I don't care. The second, a cell phone. I mean, come on. A kid wants a cell phone for Christmas? Come on.
Yeah, lame.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
I don't like
and
that.
And third, the kid wants a Wii, right? The kid wants a Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
So I told her, pardon, my excess of, pardon my intrusion, but if I could recommend one from that list for you to give to your son as a present, as a Christmas present, I would recommend a Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she looks at me and she says, another video game? So he's playing video games all day? So I told her, look, it is inevitable that kids are going to play video games these days. If he's going to play video games anyway, at least give him the machine that's going to give him, an opportunity to jump around and move and maybe even get some exercise in it.
Yeah, maybe even play with her and other family and stuff.
Yeah, so, if he's going to play video games anyway, give him one that's going to, help him stay healthy and stuff and move around and that you can play in on.
Back, how does she afford a Wii though? The cost of a Wii down there is like Brian, it'd be like me going and buying a $75,000 Beamer. It's just ridiculous and out of my price range.
You see that's the thing. I told her to get him a Wii. So she goes like, there's no way he's getting one of those. Like, look, I just explained to you why it's good.
Yeah.
She says, yeah, but they cost 1,000,000 pesos.
Dude, you guys really need to change your denomination.
Okay, now 1,000,000 pesos to you would be a little bit over $500.
Oh, see, that's why though? Is it the value of the dollar versus the value of the peso? Is that the deal?
Well, I don't know a lot about this stuff. I mean, I know that it's probably what it costs to bring it here, plus what it costs to pay for the whole import tax or whatever.
The smuggler guy with the knife and the gun, all that kind of stuff, right?
No, I mean, if you're going to go get it, at some black market kind of thing, you can get it for a little bit cheaper. But those things, I mean, they got tight regulations on those things. So getting it cheaper than that is very difficult.
Yeah, but it's $250 bucks here. So where does it get jacked twice that? How is that price happening?
I have no idea. A 360 is almost like $2 million. And a PS3 is $2 million high, almost $3 million.
Jeez.
These are things I'm not even close to even considering buying.
It's like, do you have change for that, sir? Yeah, let me grab $3 million for freaking pesos. I just don't understand.
Okay, here's the thing. For example, let's say I buy a 360, which would be like, you know, that would be awesome. I bring it here. I still got to buy games for it, which that's also outside of my price range. So what I would have to do is take the 360 to one of these black markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have it, you know, modified so it can take pirate games.
Yeah.
But then you're risking, I mean, you're risking your console, you know. You might damage it, and, you know, and if you damage it that way, there's no warranty there.
That's true. Brian, you're a big proponent of hacking your Xbox.
Yes, yeah, sir? But that's an old Xbox.
Yeah, but do you recommend, but you can mod ship these new ones. Do you recommend that, Brian, or do you think people should wait longer until that gets easier? Because the 360 is kind of a pain in the chotch.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's from the get-go. When I got a PlayStation, I modded it within the first month.
Yeah.
When I had my PlayStation 1. When I got my Xbox, I think we waited, I probably didn't even wait 2 or 3 months on that one, too. I don't mind modifying something. So, I mean, it didn't scare me to modify a fairly new machine. So, if I had a 360, if it wasn't doing everything that I thought it was capable of doing, I would definitely modify it.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing.
That's true. Because he's a genius. He's a damned genius. That's what he is, all right. That reminds me of Carmen.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Special Olympics South Park?
No, I hadn't seen that one. Oh. No, but I did watch, you bugged the crap out of me about this lately. Everybody's talking about how great South Park is. So I said, well, crap, I'll give it another try. I watched the Guitar Hero one.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Last night's was good too, by the way. I've become a junkie, and that show's a guilty pleasure for me. I really enjoy it. Well, what I mean is, I can't. There's no way I could show that show to my kids. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, your kids are kids.
I know, but I'm saying, yeah. Well, that's true. But you know, it's like, why is it okay for dad being there watching stuff about penises and whatnot?
Well, you see what you need to slap your kids around a little bit more because. Yeah, I mean, what kind of a question is that? Why is it okay for dad? Well, because dad's like 60 and you're not.
Dude, what the crap? You, of course, found a way to make an age joke. That's awesome. Nice work. All right, let's do enough talk about that. Let's do this.
It's time for Extra Life Radio's Crappy Movie of the Week.
Thank you, Scott Fletcher. It's always so good to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Oh, have I played for you guys? Let's see if I can find it. Do I have it here? Yeah, this. Have I played this for you guys? Check this out. This came from Rob. I'm just thinking of people who help contribute to the show, like Scott Fletcher and everybody else, and Rob, who does our theme music and everything else. He did this organ, like kind of impromptu organ
thing.
Saw
it on your site.
Well, I actually have. He sent me the recorded version of that. It's kind of cool. We'll just listen to a little bit of it here. I just think he's great. I love Rob. I love the Danish. Hopefully he can, I would love to hear, there's so many, I would love to hear every version we could think of, every cover of the theme song we could think of, like techno version and, you know, whatever. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Break it down. All right, let's do it. What are we doing? Oh, crappy movie. The movie's called City Limits. Came out in 1985. I remember this movie. Came out in 85. It was kind of a sci-fi action drama slash crap movie. You can still buy it at Amazon.com, both in Canada or Canada, and right here in North America. Also, Britain and Germany and France.
But not Colombia.
It looks like basically the entire Allied forces can get this movie, and not Colombia.
But not the Axis of Evil.
No, Colombia. Of course not. You guys are part of the four axis. How much is a Brazilian? Anyway, so here it is. John Stockwell was in it. I think he's the only person with any sort of name. Oh, no, I'm sorry. James Earl Jones was also in it. And so was Kim Cattrall. And someone named Norbert Weiser.
Norbert. Oh, yeah, Norbert.
Yeah, that guy. You know him.
Norb.
Norm. Norb. City Limits, here's how it kind of went down. A series of teenage gangs struggle against each other in a not-so-distant future. Eventually, they unite against an evil corporation as represented by evil CEO Robbie Benson, who wants to control everything.
Everything?
Yeah, that sounds like crap. Anyway, really lousy. No,
that's quite a bit.
There's quite a bit of nudity in it, apparently, in the way of Kim Cattrall. So I'm a huge fan. She'll always be a Vulcan gone bad for me from Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. But interesting nonetheless. Okay, let's play some clips. I got clips. You ready for these?
Do it.
This one's about a guy getting crushed.
Progress is a train. You can climb aboard. You can get out of the way. Or you can be crushed.
Yeah, dude. Did you know? Did you know that?
Nice.
Yeah. Who's Robbie Benson? Isn't he the guy that was in the... He played a retarded dude in some show some time back, but then he did the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon. Isn't that who that is? I think that's that guy I was just talking.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? Robbie Benson, there he is. Carver is his name. Yeah, no, that's the guy. That's him. Anyway. No one will care about that. But he was in Kingdom Hearts. He was in the video game, I mean. He was in MXP, Most Extreme Primate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And lastly, he was in Huntress, which was terrible, and Deadly Exposure. And his name was Max Pierce in that movie.
Nice.
Anyway, Beauty and the Beast is his latest, greatest thing. And I think he won like some award back in the day, but now he's a washed-up turd. Anyway, good luck to you, Robbie Benson. Here's the next one. This is the intro narration to City Limits. Here it is.
Most of the adults were killed by the plague and left a world of orphans to die off from lack of care or live by their own devices.
Okay, do you recognize the voice?
What's Darth Vader doing on there?
Yeah, that's him. That's kind of cool, right?
Well, yeah. He makes anything he touches awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. I'm just trying to look at how old this... Let's see. In 85, he would have been... Gosh, he has to be pretty old now. James Earl Jones was born in 1931. Woo!
Wow. I know he's that old.
Yeah, he's pretty old. In Arkabulta, Mississippi, and had full-on dyslexia and stuttering as a kid. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he got over it.
Yeah. Nice work. Very nice. He hasn't done much since Click, which is a poopy movie.
Really? What was he in Click?
He played the narrator voice, so he wasn't really technically in it.
Well, yeah.
And he was Darth Vader in the Benchwarmers. I don't know how that worked. And he was also in Kingdom Hearts 2, of course, doing Mufasa. And he was in... Oh, that's why the other guy was in Kingdom Hearts, because he was the Beast. Anyway, sorry. He was also in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Uncredited, however. I didn't know that.
Yeah. What did he do there?
He said, no. That was it. Anyway, I love James Earl Jones. I'll watch him in anything, truthfully. Let's listen to our second to last clip. This is... this talks about how to be just like me.
If you eliminate me, somebody just like me, or even worse, will follow.
Awesome. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And then something about wearing sheep. This is really stupid.
Wearing sheep.
Yeah, this is really a stupid one. But we'll play it anyway. Stupid or not, here it is.
How come you wear sheep? Sheep didn't need it no more.
Ah, that was great.
Yeah. I got that one mostly for the laugh.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was a sarcastic laugh. Asshole laugh, yeah.
Pretty vicious. Anyway, good stuff. So there's, did I play them all? Nope. Yep, I did. That was it. So there's your movie. It's called City Limits. Go get it. I'm sure it's sweet. Sounds like a real winner to me. I think that's about it. You guys have anything else you wanted to mention before we close it up?
I want to say happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Everybody be safe out there.
Oh, yeah. We're skipping next week. I forgot. It's Turkey Day that day.
That's right. Really?
Yeah.
Skipping next week?
Well, yeah, dude. We got Thanksgiving. You and your no holiday freaking wherever you live. We got stuff to do.
The rest of the world doesn't care. It's not fair.
But well, think of it this way. I did a little sort of non-scientific poll, and I'm pretty certain without too much variation, we are one of the most consistent podcasts in the history of the medium. Nobody else has shows as regularly as we do.
So that doesn't make it fair.
Well, the point is, well, that's true. It isn't fair. You guys should be sitting around eating turkey like us. It's good. It's like the best day of the year.
Vegetarian.
Y'all should celebrate tricking the Indians too.
Yeah, you should find some people you can oppress and give give blankets to them that have the smallpox in it.
Yeah. This corn is delicious.
This is really
some
good.
Blankets.
Yeah. Where's your village? Over there? No problem. We won't touch you or hurt you or kick you out. We won't put you in little small communities where you drink a lot of beer and open casinos. It'll be fine. Yeah. Anyway.
Nice.
You guys are being so offensive right now.
Well, it's the nice. I'm not blaming Indians. I'm blaming the freaking white man.
Exactly. It's so horrible what we did.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
The Indians are awesome, dude. My wife, I found out the other day, has 1/16 Choctaw Indian in her. You can barely, you'd never know, but she has some Indian in her. And some apparently she has a little African American blood in her too, so I'm very much and I got Korean brothers and sisters, dude. I got it all. It's all covered. I got a Colombian on the damn show,
yeah,
and a South Carolinian, a redneck. There's a redneck on. All right. Well, I think that's going to about do it, folks. Thanks for listening. This has been yet another edition of ELR. If you'd like to participate in the show, you can do it a number of ways. Call us on the GOB line. That's 801-471-0GOB, G-O-B. You can also email us, extraliferadio@gmail.com. I have a contest coming up for the next show. Like we said, we will not be here for Thanksgiving week. Taking a week off. A much-deserved break, as it were. I hope all you guys in the U.S. have a great holiday. Eat lots of turkey and the like. And we'll try to do the same here. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of ELR. Everyone have a good one. We'll see you later. Thanks. Bye.
Hello everyone, this is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. Today's movie, American Gangster, starring Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe, and directed by Ridley Scott.
Man I worked for had one of the biggest companies in New York City. He didn't own his own company. White man owned it, so they owned him.
Nobody owns me, though.
The most important thing in business is honesty.
Bribery? Extortion?
Integrity, hard work.
Murder, racketeering,
family. Never forgetting where we came from.
Who is this guy?
American Gangster is another inspired by true events movie, and I already went over last time about how I feel about those kind of movies. So, it's hard to know exactly what is completely real with this and what is not. Other than that, though, let's talk about the show. Denzel Washington stars as Frank Lucas, a drug kingpin in New York, who completely monopolizes the import of heroin into New York. Russell Crowe stars as Richie Roberts, the cop who heads up the new narcotics division of the police force. Now, the movie follows both characters from the beginning of Frank Lucas's empire and shows how Lucas rose from being a thug in his former boss's crime ring to be the largest heroin importer in New York. And the film makes you really know that both characters are very flawed. You get constant reminders that Frank Lucas is a very brutal, relentless man who will stop at nothing to get what he wants, and this includes putting a bullet in a rival bad guy's head in broad daylight in front of many witnesses. Richie Roberts is an honest cop, but he's hardly a stand-up guy with his personal life. All throughout the movie, he is in a custody dispute with his ex-wife and is shown to be skirting his visitation time with his son, along with sleeping with any woman that will cross his path. The question is, does this movie pull you in by the characters, and do you feel like you're in 1970s Harlem? For feeling like you're in 1970s Harlem, the answer is no. I saw a documentary on Lucas a week before seeing the movie, and they showed plenty of images of Harlem during Lucas's heroin trafficking days, and it looked like a war zone. Buildings were crumbling, people were strung out in the streets, the streets themselves looked atrocious, and in the movie, the city looks pretty sterile. It could be any mild-mannered town. So I don't think Ridley Scott did enough to show how Lucas almost destroyed an entire section of New York with heroin. You just don't see enough of what drugs and organized crime can do to a city. It almost glorifies Lucas, all the while showing how brutal he was. Now, do you get pulled into the characters? For the second time in as many movies that I've seen Russell Crowe in, I'd have to say that he really holds the movie together, and he's not overbearing with it. It's not like a look-at-me performance. He's very subtle, but really fantastic as Richie Roberts. Now, Denzel Washington is also very good, although there are some moments where he is overacting. You kind of get pulled out of the scene because he is kind of saying, look at me, look how good I can act in this role. For anyone fascinated with bad guys rising to power and the cops that try and pull them down, this is definitely worth the almost 3 hours running time. It is brutal, it's violent, so keep that in mind, but if you're okay with that, it's a worthy movie for your money. American Gangster is rated R for extreme violence, adult language, and female nudity.
Hello, Extra Life Radio listeners. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast at treksinscifi.com with this week's review for you. Well, this past week, since I am a big Star Trek geek, went out with my son to see Star Trek The Menagerie, which is a two-part episode from the original 1960s Star Trek TV series. It was up on the big screen to kind of celebrate and slightly advertise the release of the first season of the original series on HD DVD next week. The first season of Star Trek, that is, the original series. Now, The Menagerie has been, of course, seen countless times on television throughout the years, but I think this is the first time it's ever been shown in movie theaters in a high-def, remastered, very cleaned-up version of it, with, of course, the additional digital CGI effects that they've been adding to all the original Star Trek series episodes over the last year or so. The picture looked really good. The sound for our theater was a little off at first, but then they fixed that, so that worked out. There was a cool little about 20-minute bit at the beginning, which shows some behind-the-scenes stuff. Gene Roddenberry's son spoke for a little bit about growing up around Star Trek, and they showed a little bit of the extra features that are going to be on the HD DVD set coming out next week, I think on the 21st or the 20th of November. Yeah. But anyway, this was shown for two nights, the November 13th and November 15th tonight. So this was your last chance to see The Menagerie on the big screen. I hope a lot of people got a chance to see it. I enjoyed it quite a bit with my son, and it was very cool to see Trek on the screen in a movie theater again. And we'll be seeing, of course, the Star Trek movie coming out a year from this Christmas, 12/25/08. Until next time, this is Rico signing off for this week.
Fascinating.
Hey, Scott, want to go to my house for some popsicles? We got muffins. I got cookies, too.
Hey, Extra Life Radio. It's Scott Johnson. I was calling because I just listened to the show. It was all about the actors that are not often mentioned or well-known. And I thought it would be real nice to hear some more about what actors you like, because there are some that I think might qualify, but they weren't mentioned. Now, I'm not going to mention any names or even really try to insinuate any way, shape, or form, but come on, I could really use a little more of your favorite actors. There goes my radar detector. Holy shit, as a cop, a goddamn.
Hey there, ELR, it's a Speedbuster. I'm just calling because you seem to be jipping us in our phone calls. I had a delightful chat with Mr. Brandon, and he seems to as well have been gypped from the collection of phone call prizes. It seems you have left us in the dark. I do not know why, but listening to our Skype chat room, it seems we are now conspiring to kill you until... Let me rephrase. We are conspiring to kill you if we do not get our prizes. We might let it by if we get our prize. I'm just wondering, what's the deal? How many times I got to call one to get my free shit? I demand my free shit for doing nothing. Free shit. Sack.
Hey, Extra Life! As old as I am, I'm gonna need an extra life. Anyway, I hear old man Franks is walking the picket lines. Listen here, Frankie. I ain't taking your job. And if you try to cross the picket lines, I'm gonna suck you right in your eyeball. Hey! Who is that out there? Hey! Hey, you kids! Hey! Get off of my lawn! You get out of here!
Hey, guys. I just picked up Call of Duty 4 because I've seen you guys online on 316, namely you, Scott. And, let me go ahead and take this home and see how this plays. So, if it sucks, I'm suing. No, not really. But hopefully it kicks and rocks bootay. And see you guys online in Call of Duty 4. See y'all later. Love the show.
Hello, boys. Or should I say hello, boys? Just wanted to call and put in 2 cents on Naruto. One of the big things that I find about the Naruto cartoon is that the Americanized version of it is absolutely horrible. If you actually go and download some of the fan-translated torrents that are subtitled, I think you guys will find that it actually kicks ass. It's just that the people who do the translations for the TV show suck, and for America. So, yeah. That's about it. Catch y'all later. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've got a joke that you probably never heard it before. Okay? All right, here goes. It's great. Okay, here goes. Okay. So a pirate walks into a bar, and he's got a steering wheel stuck in his pants. And he says to the barman, "I'd like a beer." He's like, "Okay, but what the heck is that thing?" And he's a redneck bartender. And he said, it's a steering wheel. It's driving me nuts. Oh, and by the way, Charlize Theron was the monkey in Mighty Joe Young. And I think, what the hell was her name? She was in Seabiscuit. She was the horse. Julia Roberts. Yeah, okay.
Perk. Hey, Scott, it's Chris Diamond and the gang. Sorry, I always forget that. Just want to let you know that today is my father's birthday. He is turning 61. So, you know how everyone's asking O to do it in Spanish? I just want to switch things up a little bit for Brian to do it in Texan. That'd be great. Thank you. Bye.
Now that is unfortunate.